Let's go.
This is the Training Camp Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
Tempo in and out of the huddle.
The Training Camp Review Podcast is your daily source for all the news from Patriots Training Camp. Couldn't make it to the Patriots practice? Don't worry. The writers of Patriots Football Weekly have you covered. Well, maybe not Fred.
It's supposed to be hot. It's supposed to be tough. The NFL. It's training camp.
Now, here to review today's practice, the writers of PFW.
Tuesday afternoon here at Gillette Stadium, day 13, practice number 11. And a special practice today because, as we've been previewing all week, the New Orleans Saints are in town for their first of two practices before Thursday night's preseason open, and an awful lot going on the practice fields behind Gillette Stadium today. 180 or so players out there, a lot of footballs in the field, a lot of action going on. At one point, we had basically a four corners going on with drills. You know, offensive and defensive linemen going at it, seven on sevens.
They had double-barrel kickers kicking
field goals
at us.
Seven on sevens going on in both fields, depending on which offense had the ball. As Andy said, the special teams were in full effect.
You know you're in trouble when you can't keep up with the kickers.
So there was an awful lot to keep track of. Just before I start to get Andy's, overall impressions of the day, just some bookkeeping things. Probably the number one disappointment for New England on the day, Brandon Spikes, not in uniform for the second straight day. Disappointing to not see him out there against another team. See that Andy Hart, all SEC defense, were missing the E in the middle linebacker. So
it's just
that was disappointing.
Same.
James Ahedebo, however, was back in uniform. Not a swap, I think, that Bill Belichick is necessarily looking for. But he was back after missing the practice on Monday. For openers, we got off to a little bit of a late start. Bill Belichick and Joe Vitt both attended the funeral of Garrett Reed, the son of Philadelphia Eagles coach Andy Reed. So that pushed practice back to about 2 o'clock or so. But I still thought they were able to get an awful lot of work in, a lot of competitive situations, Andy. Exactly what both coaches talked about heading into the dual practices, or the joint practices, I should say. Overall impressions, an awful lot going on.
Yeah, I thought it started, and we joked about this, two best quarterbacks or two of the top three quarterbacks in the NFL on the field. And later I said, well, you could probably say the same thing about tight ends with Jimmy Graham and Rob Gronkowski. So not surprisingly, started out early, a lot of balls in the air. The first thing I found interesting is it seemed like the Saints warmed up like it was a game. They did almost like a pregame warm-up, whereas the Patriots were warming up like we've seen them warm up every day in training camp.
You know, remind me tomorrow, let's ask some of the New Orleans writers that are here if they do that every day, or if that was a game.
Good idea. But beyond that, they start out with some one-on-ones with the wide receivers going against the DBs of both teams on separate fields, as you said. So you're kind of tennis matching it back and forth between the two fields.
Not a lot of incompletions in those drills.
No, not a lot of balls hitting the ground early.
On either side.
I think you saw... You know, the Saints don't have – every time I looked up a Saints defensive back, I'd never heard of him. He was out of, like, Lehigh or Fordham in his second season.
They were a steady slew of rookies and ones.
Yeah. So the Patriots had a lot of success early, as did the Saints. One thing I told you I was interested today was just Jimmy Graham. Seeing him in person, he passes the eyeball test.
He's an impressive impressive player.
Beat Dante Hightower, which, by the way, I've been keeping an eye on, and I think that could be an issue a little bit with him. Pass coverage, he got toasted by a few Saints. But he beat him right into the end zone, and then went up and did one of those mammoth dunks, and the ball went into the front row, and some kid caught it. He was pumped. And it was just, that's an athlete right there on the field. So I thought he was impressive. And then as they got into more team things, the Saints pass rush, I thought, showed something, gave Brady a little pressure. Brady started to get a little less accurate, seemed to get frustrated. He missed some throws. And we've seen this a couple times in camp now. He had the quote-unquote house call from Tom House, the QB coach he worked with in the offseason. Be interesting to see how he transitions through these frustrating days. But I thought the offensive line got their eyes opened a little bit to what game-like pressure.
Definitely in the team periods,
be.
No question.
And
couldn't agree with you more.
Even in the running game, I thought the Saints had penetration. Cameron Jordan came through and tackled Ridley, for what would have been a 3-4 yard loss. They didn't get the running game really going. So I thought the offense, I thought everything that failed on the offense for the Patriots kind of stemmed from up front. And that's what people have been worrying about. And we've kind of downplayed it.
Yeah, but we have downplayed it. And I will say this, if this is the personnel that has to play the balance of the season, I think I will be willing to come to the side of the majority and say, this is a concern. Because I think if you're going with, Conley, Wendell, Copen, Cannon, some combination of those guys, I think it might be It's going to take some work to get up to speed. They got manhandled at times. I thought they were much better, and it was the far corner away from the media tent. It was during a period that I was with Brian Lowe on the field during the drills. I thought they did a better job of sort of holding their own. I thought Donald Thomas in particular was pretty effective. And so they would have the full line, but only, you know, four people would be playing live. It'd be two on two, basically, you know, guard tackle, guard center against two defensive linemen. I thought Donald Thomas in particular stuck out. We talked about during the tent and during PFW in progress how New Orleans traditionally has been a high pressure defense. They like to get after you. Greg Williams liked to do a lot of blitzing. Spagnuolo was not that guy. He likes to put pressure on with the front four, but what we saw today I thought was some stunting.
Mm-hmm.
Not blitzes, but just some loops, inside outside stuff, and it looked like it bothered the Patriots offensive line. And you're right, Andy, everything that they had that went wrong today offensively, probably you can start with the offensive line.
Certainly. And then on the defensive side for the Patriots, I thought they were okay.
They were competitive.
You know, they made some
plays. I thought they were competitive.
You know, Brady threw a pick. Breeze threw a pick later. Chase Daniel threw a pick. I thought both the Saints picks, and I don't want to be considered pessimist here, were just really poorly thrown balls, overthrew the receiver right over the top of his head.
Certainly Breeze's was just the
defender.
Yeah, ended up being a terrible
You know,
throw.
We saw a unique look where, you know, on the front line you had Ninkovich at left end and then Jermaine Cunningham at defensive tackle. You mentioned maybe that would have been normally a Jonathan Finene phase.
And I'm speculating.
Others said, is this just a last-ditch effort for Cunningham? What is he? Is he a sub-rusher on the inside? But I thought that was sort of a unique look. But I thought just overall, while you said it was definitely sloppy, it wasn't crisp for either team. I mean, you're thinking about offenses that are throwing for 5,000 yards that they're just like boom, boom, boom. They're not at that point right now.
And the telltale sign for that is when you watch Tom Brady. I mean, I think when you watch how he goes, you can get a pretty good idea, even if you don't know anything at all about football. And what I saw a lot of today as the afternoon went on was Tom Brady with his helmet off, that helmet kind of dragging in his hand with his head down. He was not happy on several different occasions. It probably started with himself. I thought he was a little bit wild with his throws at times. And certainly he couldn't have been happy with the amount of time that he had and the timing of the routes. Now, those last two points are probably related.
Right.
He didn't have the time, and therefore it disrupted the timing with his receivers, but it just didn't look right.
Even my easy play, he had Gronk down the seam, and everybody was like, did Gronk get his foot caught? He didn't break on the ball, but it was
not
off.
Even close. There was four or five passes in team periods today that didn't have a prayer of being completed.
And my guess is if these two teams did this again a month from now, it would look a lot different because they are going to be two of the better offenses in football.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch Thursday night, too. I don't know how much these first units will get to go against each other. We might only see them for a series, but it will be interesting to see even the difference between practice and in a game, even though it's not really a game. It's more of a live situation than what we saw just now.
A couple just little nuggets, notes, things you see. Pre-practice punt return, we had the normal guys, which is Edelman, Welker, and now Hernandez, I consider normal. He's out every day.
He took a live one today with the Saints coming down at him.
Patrick Chung, Jeremy Ebert, and Ross Ventrone. And I'm wondering if that is simply in the fourth quarter of a preseason game when they punt, somebody's going to return it. It might be Ross Ventrone or it might be Jeremy Ebert. It's not going to be Welker, Edelman, or Hernandez.
That's a great point.
So I'm not saying those guys are now competing for a role there necessarily.
Someone's got to return punts in the fourth quarter Thursday night.
I thought that was kind of interesting. And I thought, you know, I heard Steve Gregory talk about they blitzed a little bit with the safeties. Tyvon Wilson went on one.
I saw it, Wilson.
And Gregory joked, you know, we DBs, we always think we're the best blitzers on the field. But, you know, I used to make fun of James Sanders would run and then he'd see the fullback and stop. And be interesting if that becomes more a part of the defense this year. But, I enjoyed just as chaotic as it was a fun chaotic because there was a lot of talent on the field, a lot of action intensity.
And, you know, the way the players talked leading up to it, they were looking forward to hitting someone else and changing the routine. It was definitely the case for us as well.
Right.
It was nice to see something different, get out of the momentum, the monotony of what we had been seeing. A couple of just random kind of observations.
14 killed the Patriots.
Robert Kraft was in attendance today. He led around Thomas Benson and his significant other. Not sure if it's his wife or if his girlfriend.
I always refer to her as the lady friend.
We also saw John Bon Jovi in attendance today.
And your wife was just all over him.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure my wife has left me. Anyway, and we also saw Tom Brady with family in tow. Which
Giselle.
Was, Giselle was here with the kids.
With a dog. Looks like it would eat me.
They were out in the field as well after the game. So,
like father, like son, by the way. Did you see the hat on the little boy?
Yeah, very stylish. And I put stylish in air quotes. The overwhelming, by the way, attendance today.
Oh, yeah.
It had to be the largest attendance that we've seen. At one point down on the field, it was basically just a continuous mass of bodies all the way down the stands, around the corner to the hill. Sorry, the burn, as Eric likes to refer to it. But he's not
burn
here.
Or
so
berm?
Berm? Is it
I think
berm?
It's berm.
Berm?
I
think he
berm.
Writes burn, doesn't he?
I don't think that's right.
Oh, all right. Anyway, there were a lot of people here. We'll stick with that.
Including a large group of military people who
yes.
I thought very coolly, when they walked down the sideline, just got a
huge standing
ovation
from, you know, the 12, 13, 15,000 people
that
were here
cool.
today. That was definitely a bright spot. But we're going to be back at it tomorrow. The Saints will be here. I would expect it to be a less intense practice, probably not in full pads.
Borderline walkthrough.
Mike Reese has reported already via Twitter that it will be in shells. So I wouldn't expect to see anywhere near the amount of action and activity we saw today. That will get underway at 10 a.m. We will recap that practice shortly thereafter. And then it's on to game time. We'll have the Dunkin' Donuts pregame social on Thursday.
Anything we must else? Protect this house.
Anything else you want to add?
No, I'm good.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.